Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank the Lord for this church and our staff. If you would take your Bible, turn to Psalm 106. Move this down a little bit. Psalm 106. Very grateful for the opportunity to preach tonight. As Brother Seaman is saying, I hope you'll pray for this group in India. Pray for Pastor, pray for all the men. Pray for Dr. Cherian as he orchestrates this whole thing. What a blessing it is to hear about souls being saved. And as I was talking to Brother Steve earlier on the phone today, first of all, it was amazing how clear he was coming through on the phone, knowing he's all the way in India, and I'm here in Great Tennessee, talking to him a little bit, and he said after the service, after the people have been dealt with and all that kind of thing, they went to feed all the folks, and everybody's gathered around this large building, and he said these men brought out this huge bowl of rice. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a bowl of rice this big. I haven't. It took five men to carry this bowl of rice. So I wouldn't exactly call that a bowl. That's a, I don't know what, but dump truck, something like that. Anyways, they started feeding the men and all these people, and they give them rice and put some kind of meat gravy on top of it and all that kind of thing. And Brother Steve said he was standing next to Pastor, and he kind of nudged him a little bit and said, "Hey, Pastor, you know what? There's a half a peanut butter sandwich right there." And that's exciting, folks. For those of you who are at the Christmas dinner, you know what I'm talking about. Psalm 106. And we'll read the whole chapter, we'll read verses 1 through 25, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Honestly, we could stop right there. Think about the goodness of God in your life. Think about God's mercy in your life. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. I give you illustrations sometimes with teenagers. Most of us have played the game Mercy before. You grab somebody's hands and you wrench them down until they say, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." We know we're at the mercy of God. There's things in our life that we deserve to get that we have not gotten. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, think about God's grace, God's mercy in your life. Like I said, we could stop here and go home and just think about this verse tonight. But again, at the beginning of verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. When's the last time you truly praised God? When's the last time you took time and said, "God, thank you for allowing me to be in this church. God, thank you for giving me good health. God, thank you for every breath I've taken." Tell you what, let's all do something. Everybody take a breath. Hold it. Let it out. Where'd that come from? Well, my lungs expanded and absorbed oxygen and released carbon monoxide. Yes, scientifically speaking, but God gave you that breath. Listen, folks, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. I know many times in my life I have, even just simply being able to take a step, being able to do this. God has truly been good to us, and I thank him for that. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, they remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his words, they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in a breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they displeased the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Think about these things tonight. Many things we could go over, many sermons that could be preached out of this passage. Honestly, each of these stories talking about the children of Israel as they're journeying through the wilderness, you could preach a message on every one of them. But one thing I'll share with you in just a moment, I'd like for you to think about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. God, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for thy faithfulness. God, I pray that you help us tonight to learn from your word. We pray again that you continue to bless the men in India, keep them safe. And Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice the beginning, again, in Psalm chapter 106, the first phrase that's mentioned, praise ye the Lord. And again, folks, get in the habit of praising God. Praise the Lord all the time. And take a look, if all the way at the end of this chapter, after verse number 48, what's the last phrase there? Praise ye the Lord. Kind of the bookends on this chapter. You know, it's amazing. It starts with praising the Lord. It ends with praising the Lord. Well, what's in the middle? A lot of sin. If you look at the end of the chapter, we see the same phrase again. Praise ye the Lord. Between these verses of praise, we see many details of Israel's sin. But more importantly, we see the patience and mercy of God. Again, there are several stories within this 106th chapter, but I'd like to draw your attention to one in verses number 19 and 20. The Bible says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. The similitude of an ox. I'd like for you to think about this tonight. This story is found in Exodus chapter 32, if you'll turn there with me. Exodus chapter 32. Came across this phrase about a year ago as I was reading through my devotions and jotted this phrase down, and the Lord's just used it many times since then. But I hope you'll think about this thought tonight. The similitude of an ox. Think about this story about these the Israelites who have journeyed through the wilderness. God's provided all their needs up to this point, and yet they've formed this molten calf. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 32. And we'll read down near the end of the chapter. The Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall be before us. And as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the gold earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he did bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest to thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. We'll stop here for sake of time. Obviously, we know the story goes on. Moses came down from the mountain, was angry, took the tables which God had prepared, threw them on the ground. They were shattered, ended up destroying this idol, so on and so forth. Well, let's take notice at the first thing. Point number one, the ingratitude of the people. Again, think back to Psalm chapter 106. If we truly get in the habit of praising the Lord with our life, the more grateful we'll be. We start to murmur when we don't thank God, honestly. I know in my own life, if I'm constantly asking God for things, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. My dad calls it the gimme syndrome, which is fine. It's okay to ask God for things. God has told us to ask Him for things. But we should take time to thank Him. When we truly thank God, when we're truly grateful people, we're going to murmur a whole lot less. Now, a lot of times we look at the children of Israel as they're wandering through the wilderness, and God gave them food, and they complain about it. Our soul loatheth this light bread. God led them across the Red Sea, and they eventually complain about it. We look at them and say, shame on them. Well, honestly, folks, I know myself am just as guilty many times in my life. So we see the ingratitude of the people. They showed a tremendous lack of respect for the man that God had appointed to be their leader. Obviously, in verse number 1, we see they referred to Moses as this Moses. This Moses. There's a lot of respect. The man who God had appointed to lead them out of Egypt, led them across the Red Sea. Obviously, God made the way through all these things. The man that God had appointed, they're very ungrateful for him. Moses is the one whom God used, whom God used to lead them out of Egypt, again, across the Red Sea. As their leader was on the mountain with God, they sought for another to lead them. So be grateful for the leadership that God's placed in your life. These people were very ungrateful, and they were looking, they were searching, they were impatient. And that brings us to our next point. The first point, the ingratitude of the people. Point number 2, the impatience of the people. Now be honest, how many of you consider yourself to be a patient person? I don't see many hands out there. I myself am not a very patient person. My wife will tell you that. Honestly, most people aren't, especially the children of Israel at this point. They were very impatient. Moses had been up there for how long? 40 days, 40 nights. On the 39th day, the people became impatient while Moses was on the mountain. If they had waited but one more day he was coming down. If they would have waited one more day, their leader would have returned with the instruction from the Lord, but they were too impatient to wait. Why couldn't they see that Moses would come down when God was finished with him? We must learn in our lives to truly wait on the Lord in His timing. Something my dad has always said, and I'm sure this is someone else's quote as well, God's never late, we're just often too early. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Whatever decision you've got in life, wait on God. Don't rush things. Truly wait on the Lord. The Bible gives several other examples. Psalm 27:14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Think about this thought. Don't be an impatient person. I'm speaking directly to myself right now. I need to be more patient. I need to wait on God more. And this is something that would be beneficial to all of us. Point number 3, first we've seen the ingratitude of the people. Point number 2 is the impatience of the people. Point number 3, we've come to the idolatry of the people. Obviously, we know that they have formed this calf. They've begun to worship it. While Moses was receiving the tables from God, which were inscribed with the Ten Commandments, the Israelites were in the process of breaking those very commandments and laws that God was giving. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6, we see here the Ten Commandments, specifically the first two that they had already broken. The Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. They've already broken the first two commandments. God the Father said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What have they done? First of all, in a sense, they've made a god of themselves. On top of that, they've made this molten image, which breaking commandment number 2, thou shalt not take into thee any graven images. And God goes on to explain that here. So we see the idolatry of the people. Verses 2 through 5, we see the materials, the construction, and the worship. Obviously, the materials, they use their own gold, their own earrings and things to make this idol. The construction, they melted down this gold, and Aaron fashioned this calf with a graving tool. And verses 5 through 6, we see the worship. Not only did they build an idol, they also made an altar before it so they could worship this quote-unquote God that they had made. You know, it's convicting thinking about what have I made a God in my life? Those little g gods. Those gods that aren't gods at all. Those gods that are selfish. Things that we make oftentimes. oftentimes. It's interesting. They said in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 32, speaking to Aaron, up, make us gods. Plural. You know, just imagine if Moses would have stayed up there a couple more days. How many more idols would they have made? We've already got a cow. Why not a chicken? Why not a golden pig, you know? That sounds ridiculous, but we have so many things in our own lives as well that we make, quote-unquote, gods. Gods of ourself, gods of things. It might be money, it might be cars, it might be houses, whatever the case is. There's so many little g gods in our life. Well, we need to get rid of those little g gods and serve the one true God, the one who only deserves that honor and glory. Back in Psalm 106, let's all turn back there. Let's look again at verses 19 and 20. Again, the Bible says, they made a calf and orb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox. Think about that phrase. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox. That glory that God in heaven should have been given. That glory that shouldn't have been given to anyone else. The one who created them, he deserved the glory. The one who breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, he deserved the glory. The one who freed them from slavery, he deserved the glory. The one who parted the Red Sea and allowed them to walk across dry land, he deserved the glory. The one who provided every need, he deserved the glory. Even though God deserved this glory, who'd they give it to? A golden calf, an ox, a molten calf, the Bible says. They worshiped again that little g god instead of the one true God. Again, it's easy to read a story like this and say, well, shame on them. Well, shame on me. Shame on us. How many times do we take something that God has done in our lives, maybe? God's brought us out of slavery. If you're a Christian, you're no longer under the bonds of slavery, but under the grace of God. How many times do we do things and say, oh, look at me. Look what I have. Listen, everything we have is from God. We must give him the glory. What in your life, what in my life is this similitude of an ox? What in our lives have we replaced and given the glory instead of giving it directly to God? Again, folks, this is cutting me. Many things I'm thinking about in my own life right now. How many times do I put myself before God? How many times do I put other people before God? It's good to put other people before ourselves, but before God, absolutely not. How many times do I put things before God? What's the ox in your life? What's the golden calf in your life? We've seen the ingratitude of the people. What can we learn from this? Be grateful for what God's done for you. Especially, I hope you pray for our pastor, the leadership that God's placed over this flock. I hope you pray for our pastor every single day. Pray for any leaders in your life. And be grateful for what God's done for you. Again, every breath we take, every step we take is from him. Don't take it for granted. We've seen the impatience of the people. Are you truly waiting on God for your life? Obviously, speaking to teenagers a lot of times, thinking about life-changing decisions as far as college and all these kind of things, teenagers, wait on God. Adults, wait on God. It might be looking for a job, whatever the case is. Wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. We've seen the idolatry of the people. And what have you made? What have we made God in our lives? Is it ourself? Is it our friends? Is it money? What is your golden calf? What have you given God's glory to? God deserves all the glory. We must live for him. Life's too short to live for yourself. Life's too short to live for things. We must live for God. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Many lessons we can learn from this tonight. And honestly, one that God spoke to me the most about is just being more grateful. Being more thankful for what he's given me. Allowing me to walk. Allowing me to see. Allowing me to hear. Allowing me to taste the dinner that I ate tonight. God's been good to us, folks. God's given us a wonderful church home. God's given us a great pastor. Be a grateful person. If you've got a quote-unquote ox in your life right now, something that you're giving the glory to when it should be going to God, get rid of those things. Serve God with your life. Again, life's too short to live for ourselves. We must live for God.
Number 306 in your hymnal, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. 306, if God has spoken to your heart and you need to come and do some business in the altar, it's open to you. Let's stand together, 306, and we'll sing together on the first stanza. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded. And the last stanza. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. I did fail to ask if we have any visitors tonight. Anyone here at Buffalo Ridge for the first time? Any visitors? Anyone willing to admit it? No? Yes, we do. Very good. You have 30 seconds to fill out a visitor's card and take it back to the lobby. There is a visitor's card right in front of you. Phyllis, you can help her there maybe. And we're glad to have you with us tonight. Very good. And we do have a gift for you out in the lobby, and Phyllis will be glad to be your guide and help you with that. We're glad to have you with us. All right. Again, be praying. 7:45 in the morning. You may be at work by then, so pray before that, okay? But get your praying in and be praying for our men in India. I tell you, they're expecting to grow every night. Had 100 last night. I can't imagine what's coming tonight, so, or tomorrow, whatever it is for them. You figure all those time things out. 10.5 hours, that's the oddest thing. I still don't understand that. Everybody else is, you know, equal increments of hours, and they're 10.5. I don't know what the deal with that is. If you know, let me know, because inquiring minds want to know, you know. So that's exactly right. If you call on your credit card, you'll talk to someone in India, so you could ask them. That's a good idea. Your cable service or whatever you call about, you'll talk to someone in India. So that's a valid point. Well, on that note, let's pray and we'll go. Lord, we do thank you that you are a great God. And the Lord, you are a loving God, and you loved us even though we're very unlovely. And you loved us and gave us your Son. Lord, help us to be grateful people. Not only have you given us your Son, but you've given us all things in Christ, all the wisdom that we need, all the strength that we need. Lord, we are a blessed people. And yet, often like the Israelites, we grumble and complain. And we are so blessed. And I pray that you'd help us as believers to be thankful and not grumblers, that we might have a good testimony in our workplace and in the world today. And Lord, help us to worship you and to put you in first place in our lives, knowing that only you can satisfy us, that you deserve that place. We thank you for the challenge we've heard tonight. And drive it home to our hearts. May we apply it and make the needed changes, we pray. We continue to pray for Tori as he'll have this heart cath on Friday, Bob as he'll have this brain biopsy tomorrow. Both of these very serious. We pray that you would just intervene in both situations. May you reveal to the doctors what both men need, that they might be able to help them. And then we think of Brenda's sister, Lord, near death, and it doesn't look very good. Lord, we thank you, she's a believer. And we pray that you just give real grace in this family. Lord, we know you're able to raise her back up, be thy will. And the Lord, just be with Brenda and the family and minister to them. Give the doctors wisdom as they treat her sister, we pray. Lord, again, ask you to bless the meetings in India. We thank you for the great report we heard today. We're excited about what you're going to do with the money that we have given, that people would be saved for all eternity. And we're excited about that. Just continue to bless in a great way. Keep us safe. Help us to be good examples of what a believer ought to be. Help us to be good witnesses throughout the week. And bless as we return to worship again Sunday morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.